Thanks for listening to The 21st. I'm Nyla Boodoo. We've been talking about the invasive fish species Asian carp. Was actually reintroduced accidentally into waters in the 1970s and has been made a jump from the Mississippi into the Illinois River. There's obviously concern about preventing the Asian carp from getting into Lake Michigan and the Great Lakes. That's what we've been talking about, whether it's the folks in Bath, Illinois, who are trying to fish them out of the water, or as we were just hearing from Representative Michael Zaleski, a new provision or to have a resolution to have the prehistoric alligator gar back reintroduced into Illinois waters. I want to bring the Illinois Department of Natural Resources into the conversation. Dan Stevenson is the chief of fisheries for DNR. Dan, thanks for being with us. Welcome to the 21st.
Sure. Glad to be here.
You know, as you just heard Representative Zaleski saying that he led this bill to reintroduce alligator gar into Illinois in order, he's saying it may help eliminate Asian carp. He said you all are skeptical. What's the DNR's position on whether or not the alligator gar will actually help lower or eliminate the Asian carp population in Illinois waters?
Well, in short, let me back up just a little bit. We actually began the alligator gar reintroductions in 2010. We'd started that before this resolution came out. We stocked some in southern Illinois waters. They're actually native to the waters in southern Illinois, and then a little ways up the Illinois River, and we've stocked up as far north as Peoria. We've stocked some in there. Now, as so far as our position, it kind of just comes down to a numbers game. Well, first thing, I checked in our strategic plan, the division strategic plan. We have 44,000 miles of rivers and streams in the state of Illinois, and we've got Asian carp in every one of those river miles, just about. There's a few that they haven't got upstream of Carlisle Lake yet, but most of them, we've got, when we talk about these Asian carp, we talk in terms of tons of fish per river mile. So, you know, it's just incredible the amount of Asian carp that are out there, and we're stocking a few thousand alligator gar per year in certain selected areas where it's suitable habitat. They were native here up until about 50 years ago. The last documented fish was caught in southern Illinois, and since they were officially declared extirpated in 1994 by the Endangered Species Board, so they've been gone for about 50 years, and we're trying to bring them back. And we're bringing them back to increase biodiversity. They're the top. They're an apex predator, and we have an opportunity bring back a fish that was a prehistoric fish that was native to this state years ago. And another thing, too, is they'll make a very strong, large trophy sport fish, too. So those were really the reasons we were looking at bringing them back. Mm-hmm. It wasn't so much as Asian carp. As I said, there's just no way they can get a handle on the Asian carp population. There's just tons and tons and tons.
Well, and it's also that this is also the difficulty, right, when you have an invasive species in terms of predators. It's not necessarily there's not necessarily a way to reintroduce a predator to control the population, is there?
That's right. Yeah, you know, if we did that, we could talk about muskies and other sport fish too that might help, but they just won't make a dent in it. There's just so many Asian carp, and as earlier Betty said from Bath, they spawn up to three times. I don't know if they've ever spawned four times a year, but they can spawn three times a year. And so, just their spawning potential, reproductive potential is so great. Stocking a handful of alligator gar in selected spots on rivers and streams up downstate won't have much
Dan, impact. I do want to get to the alligator gar and talk a little bit more about it, but mm-hmm. maybe I just want to ask you about what is being done to control the Asian carp population in Illinois, what kind of things the DNR is working on?
Yeah. Well, first, we've got through a U.S. EPA grant, we've got some research going on with various universities, Western, Eastern, Southern, U of I. So they're doing some research on reproduction and where the fish are located. But the main work we're doing is we've contracted with commercial fishermen. They're really, really good fishermen. They set nets. They know how to do it. And they really can take out a lot of fish in a hurry. And if you go upstream of Starved Rock on the Illinois River and go from there up to about I-55 bridge, they've been working in there. Well, actually, they worked all the way to Lake Michigan. We have them working up above the electric barriers as well. But collecting fish, taking out fish, and from the Morris or the I-55 bridge, let's say, to Starved Rock, we've taken out nearly 5 million pounds of fish, sent them to Schaefer's, again, where Betty sent mentioned she sends them.
For
and they
fertilizer.
Turn into fertilizer, yeah. So we're trying to slow down the migration, and we are actually slowing down the migration of the leading edge up the Illinois River, because that's the big threat getting into Lake Michigan and the Great Lakes.
Why is it why is it so important to keep Asian carp from getting into Lake Michigan and the Great Lakes?
The concern is, as we mentioned before, the reproductive potential. They reproduce, they spawn a lot. Now, they do need rivers to spawn in, so they would not spawn in Lake Michigan. The problem is, if they get into Lake Michigan, they can work their way around to other rivers and streams that empty into Lake Michigan from the state of Michigan, Wisconsin, Indiana, and get into those rivers and streams and cause the same kind of damage in those, and then on up into Lake Superior and up into Canada. So if they get into there, it's like just the foothold. They've got a foothold into the whole Great Lakes system. So we want to keep them out of there because they could do the same damage in those other states as they are in Illinois, Indiana. Well, the whole Mississippi, Ohio rivers, and Missouri River watersheds.
Right, because it started within the Mississippi Basin, spread to Ohio, and then Illinois rivers, right?
Exactly.
Look, I wanted to ask you about this electric fence. We heard Representative Zaleski talking about the fish getting electrified. I know that in 2013, there was some research from the Army Corps of Engineers and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service showing that some small fish have been able to get through the electric barrier. I know in the past there's been other folks like the NRDC that said that this doesn't necessarily have the best track record. Are you saying that you guys are relying more on those fishermen than the barriers, or how are you all trying to tackle this?
Good question. It's a combination. Now, they did some research, yes, that showed that fish can get entrapped in small ones and flow through the electric barrier on in barges. They used minnows. They did not use Asian carp, actual Asian carp, and no Asian carp to date have gone through that way. We have collected only one Asian carp ever above the electric barrier, and that was in 2010 in Lake Calumet, and that actually came in from a stocking rather than coming upstream and making it through the electric barrier. You know, just because they found out in 2013 that they could actually ride through in the, between the barges, or kind of get pulled through between the barges, well, they haven't, and they've been able to do that since the beginning of time, since they first got in there. They just never have. And so, yes, they can do it, but they haven't yet. So, and that, and we're actually, as we said, slowing down the leading edge. If you look at the electric barriers, they're in what's called Lockport Pool, and we have no Asian carp in Lockport Pool. This is all part of our sampling using the commercial fishermen and our biology.
Yeah, how do you do that? How do you do that sampling?
Nets, a lot of nets, miles and miles. I can't tell you how many hundreds and or actually thousands of miles of nets we've set over the last 5 years. And we've electrofishing, and I don't have the numbers of hours of electrofishing we've done. We find none in Lockport Pool. We find, haven't found any in 4 years in Brandon Road Pool, and only a handful downstream in Dresden Island Pool. That's the next one downstream. So right now we don't even have any threats by Asian carp to the electric barrier. There are a couple of pools downstream still. So we're hoping, and actually we've seen in Dresden Island Pool, since 2012, we've seen a 68% reduction in the number of Asian carp in Dresden Island Pool. So we feel good about the commercial, using the commercial fishermen and our biologists to take them out and stopping that leading edge, maybe not stopping it, but slowing it. And we can say actually now that the leading edge of the migration of the Illinois River hasn't moved upstream in 10 years.
In 10 years, okay.
Yeah, so we're really pleased about that. And that doesn't mean we're going to slack off in our diligence or anything like that. We'll be vigilant in maintaining that. And matter of fact, we got crews out right now. So,
and have has DNR been affected by the stage budget impasse and budget cuts? Has that had an effect on what you all have done over the past year in terms of your efforts for combating Asian carp?
No, it has. And we've had other issues on other parts, so, you know, stocking and other sport fish management and that kind of stuff. We've had other problems due to the budget impasse. But the money that we use for Asian carp is actually 100% funded through a US EPA grant. So that just keeps coming, and we keep utilizing that. That has not slowed down. The budget impasse had nothing to do with that. So we were really lucky in that sense.
Let's talk about the alligator gar for a minute. Can you tell us this is a prehistoric fish? What does it look like?
Well, they're a long, cylindrical-shaped fish. They do get big. You've probably seen pictures of them.
They seem very large, but larger than Asian carp, even.
Yes. But even at that, they have what's called they have a relatively small gape, and gape is their throat, mouth size, and all that. So they and Asian carp grow so quickly that Asian carp say they hatch one out in May, they'll get up to 2 or 3 4-inch fingerling. An alligator gar could take them up to that size, but within 3 months, they're too big even for a large alligator gar to take. So by the end of the first year, the Asian carp are too big. As we said, too, it's just a numbers game. You know, if you got a few thousand alligator gar and
there's not enough eggs for them to eat. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
And for all of these, for alligator gar, for Asian carp, can you just remind us, since we've got you on the line, about fishing licenses and what people need to be doing to make sure they're doing stuff legally in the state?
Yeah, anytime you take fish, you need to have a sport fish license. There are commercial fishing licenses, too, for those commercial fishermen that set nets and then sell them to the market and all that. But just for any kind of fishing you do, if you're 16 years old or older, you have to have a fishing license. And that's really – I had somebody ask me not too long ago. They said, well, what can we do to help with the reintroduction of the alligator gar? And really, the only money we get is from fishing license sales. So there's no special fund you can send to the DNR and have it go to alligator gar. It's just all fishing license sales. That's where we get our money.
Dan Stevenson is the chief of fisheries for the Illinois Department of Natural Resources. Dan, thanks for being with us.
Oh, thanks. It was fun.